Let's catch up on the week's Spanish news, as always, from El País in Madrid. And Simon's with us this morning. Morning, Simon.
Good morning. What an appropriate song to bring us in.
Wasn't it just? Wasn't it? If only they had known at the time. It is quite funny that you play, well, you don't, but I play certain records and you kind of think, blimey, dear, how did they know? But of course, the world's always been mad, hasn't it? That's the thing. It's always been mad. Let's do a bit of a catch up on coronavirus and vaccination updates in Spain. There's been a lot of talk that it's up to flying speed now.
Yeah, cruising speed is.
Yes.
I'm still trying to find a good translation. They keep saying velocidad de crucero in Spanish, and we've been saying cruising speed, but I'm not sure that's quite right.
Well, it depends what you're cruising in, I guess, doesn't it? If you're cruising in an old jalopy that does 40 kilometres an hour, that's not much use, is it, really?
this is true. Well, no, I'm pleased to say that it's mostly good news that I bring today. I mean, the only bad news from yesterday's report was that they still added 205 victims to the overall death toll in Spain, COVID-19 death toll, which brings the total since the health crisis began to just over 79,000. 4,900 new coronavirus cases detected in yesterday's health ministry report. But the good news is that the cumulative incidence, the key data point that we've all been looking at, which is the number of cases per 100,000 inhabitants over the last 14 days, is continuing to fall. It plateaued in recent weeks, but it fell a full 8 points yesterday to 180 after having fallen 10 points on Monday. So that's very positive.
Yeah.
There's still regions of, I mean, this is not a uniform situation. There's still regions of Spain which are in a bad way, in particular Aragon, Madrid, Navarre, and the Basque Country. I mean, Navarre and the Basque Country say that they do the most testing, so that's why what they attribute their figures to. Whereas in Madrid, of course, the central, the regional authorities just gave up a long time ago.
yes.
As we know, and have just left us all to our fate. So that's where we are in terms of the situation. On the vaccine front, there's good news, more good news today in that the health ministry and the regional governments yesterday approved the use of the Janssen vaccine among the under 60s. Now, of course, the big advantage of the Janssen vaccine is that it's a single dose vaccine. So that means it's going to speed the process up even further. I mean, you know, there have been days now where Spain has administered as many as 500,000 vaccine shots in a day. And in fact, I think in this month, what's the statistic? I think in the month of April, the Spanish authorities managed to administer as many vaccines as they did in the first 3 months of the year, which is, of course, the process in the first 3 months of the year was a lot more difficult because we were talking about care home residents and the older population, which was a more difficult difficult process to do. They're also going to be using the Janssen vaccine on the disabled, people, you know, who are in particular situations, which makes it difficult to access them. And again, that, you know, the fact that it's a single dose means that this will, you know, make that task a lot easier.
On the single dose thing, Simon, sorry to interrupt you. It's fascinating when they talk about potential vaccine passports and apps and all the rest of it. They always talk about people who've had both doses. They've not actually thought that through very well because not all of them do require both doses, of course.
No, well, I don't know the details of that, but I'm sure that once the vaccine passports are there, I mean, if you're registered as having had the Janssen, then that will, you know, be, as far as the authorities are concerned, that will mean you've got the full protection. We're still a bit on hold. We're still a bit on hold in terms of the use of the AstraZeneca. The second dose of the AstraZeneca is still on hold for those people, those essential workers who've already had their first dose. So that includes teachers, police officers, soldiers, and prison guards, for example. Basically, the Spanish government is waiting for some research. They're doing some clinical trials to see what's the best thing to do, whether to give the second dose of AstraZeneca to these people because of these very, very rare cases of blood clots, or if it's better to administer a second dose of a different vaccine, such as the Pfizer. So that is all very positive. And also, in terms of where we are, The Spanish health ministry reports having received just over 23 million doses of the vaccine so far. 87% of those have been administered, so that's just over 20,000. About 14 million people in Spain have had their first dose, and a total of just over 6,300,000 people now have had either the two doses or the single dose of Janssen to give them full protection. So that's 13% of the population. The Spanish Prime Minister came out this week and he actually put a date on.
He said
100 days to go now until we are looking at some kind of group immunity. And of course, as we know, the basically what the authorities, the Spanish authorities are aiming for 70%. It depends on which targets you're looking at, but the, either 70% of the adult population or 70% of the entire population by around the end of Spain, but at the end of August, sorry. But that, that we could, you know, if there are no more bumps in the road, if all of the supply chains hold up, there are no more obstacles, we could actually see ourselves in a situation, reaching that situation ahead of time, which obviously would be fantastic, especially ahead of the summer season. Speaking of which,
I was going to say to you, you probably haven't seen the Sun newspaper, which this morning says, marvellous news, Brit holidaymakers allowed into Spain from next week, says the country's tourism minister, which is just a blatant lie.
Well, I don't know which bit you were talking about a lie, but actually what I was just about to say, I'm just about to publish that story.
Well, when they printed that, she said she is hopeful that Britain's favourite holiday destination, Spain, will get green light status soon. But they went ahead and said, no, she's already said that. But that wasn't true.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yes, yeah. No, absolutely, yeah. She said, yeah, so there's lots of caveats there in terms of what she actually said. She basically, she did say that. She said that British tourists could begin to visit Spain once more from May the 20th onward. Of course, this depends on the UK authorities putting Spain on its green list of countries.
Yeah.
And of course, as I mentioned, I mean, you know, I will talk about this in a minute, but I feel that Spain is opening up far too early, considering where we are, you know, with the vaccination campaign, where we are in terms of the figures.
Yeah.
What was particularly interesting, I think, was what she said about British tourists won't need to present a negative PCR test on arrival in the country. And that is based on the fact that, you know, thanks to how advanced the vaccination drive is in the UK, the cumulative incidence is very low. And so that means that it won't necessarily be needed for people to present a PCR test, which is great in terms of, you know, bringing down the cost
absolutely
for people who want to travel. And obviously, assuming that it's safe and that it, you know, this is not going to, you know, risk worsening the situation, fantastic for the tourism industry in Spain, which of course is, you know, British tourists are so important to, it's the biggest group of foreign visitors to Spain, or certainly was in 2019 anyway. So giving some hope to the tourism and the travel sector. Let's see what happens there.
Absolutely, but as it currently stands, Britain has not been green lit, and therefore from next week England to be more specific, but as it currently stands, that's not what they said in this one wasn't actually true, that you're allowed into Spain from next week, so there we go.
No,
absolutely. But hey, while the facts get in the way of a good headline, eh? Talking of which, what could possibly go wrong when you get rid of the state of alarm and get rid of the curfew for everyone all at the same time? And all the people that have been locked up who were sent back home at 11 o'clock at night, at midnight, went, do you know what? I think I'll go back out again and have a few parties. Extraordinary scenes.
Absolutely. The only thing I can say is at least they were outdoors. I mean, at least this is all going on outside, and you know, there's lots of the scientific evidence seems to be pointing more and more towards the indisputable fact that you know, the coronavirus is not easily transmittable outside. I mean, it really was just the you know, just a complete lack of shock when I saw the pictures the next day.
Of course,
I mean, you know, we we were denied, you know, people were denied this year the traditional New Year's Eve celebrations in Madrid's Puerta del Sol. Yep. But that's exactly what it looked like on Saturday.
God.
As people just went completely crazy. I mean, this is just being, I feel that this is just being mishandled on all levels of the Spanish administration, from the central government, which has just, well, first of all, it's refused to extend the state of alarm, which that is, you know, maybe you could say that is fair enough, because, you know, it's been very, it was very difficult for them to garner the support in Congress to pass the state of alarm, you know, not just this recent 6 month period that we've had, but also during the worst of the crisis, that brief fleeting political unity that we saw at the outset of the pandemic quickly dissolved. Let's not forget, of course, that the Spanish government is a coalition government governing in a minority, so it needs the support of other parties to pass legislation such as this. So now, again, as we saw last summer after the first state of alarm, the responsibilities have fallen back to the regions, and a lot of the regional governments, in quite a hypocritical manner, to be honest, considering that their parties have voted against the state of alarm and said that, you know, it's an overstepping of boundaries and civil liberties and et cetera. They're now clamoring for a state of alarm, saying, oh, we need a state of alarm because all of the restrictions they're putting in that limit fundamental rights such as movement have to go to the courts, and the regional courts are ruling in very different ways depending on where you are. So, you know, some courts are allowing, you know, the regions to implement parametral lockdowns, and some aren't. So it's a mess already. Yeah. And the idea that the Spanish government, the central government had, was, okay, we'll just kick it up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court is going to fast track the rulings on these restrictions. The Supreme Court isn't happy either, because it feels that it shouldn't have the responsibility of basically trying to control the pandemic.
So, fair play,
of course, we're not going to see the effect of this for a couple of weeks. I mean, you know, after all the scenes that we saw at the weekend, and the fact that people can now travel all around the country, and the fact that people can now go in and out of each other's homes, you know, we could be looking at another spike in a couple of weeks, which would just be an absolute disaster, considering how, you know, good the data is going. And if you compare it to the UK, I was talking to my parents last night, you know, you still can't look where the UK is in terms of its vaccinations, zero deaths yesterday for the first time in a year, and people still can't go in and out of each other's homes. Mm. Whereas we've, you know, just immediately thrown that to the side in Spain without the data to back it up, in my opinion. So let's see what's going to happen. Sure. I mean, I think that there is a possibility that they are going to come up with some, you know, some kind of legal remedy to sort this problem out, especially if we see a repeat of those scenes coming up to the weekend. This weekend is our regional holiday in Madrid. So it's a bank holiday on the Saturday, so it doesn't make a huge amount of difference. But I mean, you know, if we see repeats of the scenes that we saw at the weekend this weekend, then I wouldn't be surprised if some pretty decisive action will be taken. But let's see.
Interesting. And while that is speeding up the letting people out, quite the opposite on the road, Simon.
Yes. Oh, I see what you did there.
Did you see that?
Yes. So no, this got quite a mixed response on our Facebook page yesterday.
I'm sure.
As you can imagine, from people saying, you know, oh, this is great because it, you know, anything that slows traffic down saves lives. From the other people saying, ah, oh, this is just a way to, you know, make money from traffic fines, which is normally, you know, what people come up with the arguments against speed limits such as these ones. But yeah, so they're bringing the speed limits right down. The maximum speed on the majority of urban streets will now be set at 30 kilometers an hour. The DGT, which is the state traffic authority, says that the measure will affect between 60 and 70% of roads. But of course, this will vary from city to city, because it's a little bit complicated in how it will be applied. If it's a single lane road, it's going to be 30 kilometers an hour. If it's a road that has a sidewalk at the same height, so if you think of all those sort of pedestrianized, you know, or semi-pedestrianized roads in urban centers, especially in the old the old quarters of cities, those roads will see the speed limits limited to 20 kilometers an hour, while two or more lanes in each direction of traffic will have their speeds limited to 50 kilometers an hour. Now, the Spanish government has justified this in part because the percentage of, or the number of vulnerable road traffic victims has risen, and this is partly to do with changing habits. We've got a lot more cyclists. We've got a lot more people using those, you know, those scooters, those electric scooters, which you can rent in a lot of Spanish cities now. And that's partly to do with this phenomenon whereby the percentage of vulnerable road traffic victims actually exceeds the percentage of people killed while in vehicles, which is interesting. And Spain's done a lot of work over the recent decades to bring down its terrible rates of fatal accidents, particularly on motorways, on higher speed roads. So that's been great work in the right direction. So now this responds to another problem, which is the deaths of vulnerable road traffic victims, such as pedestrians, cyclists, or similar. And just to finish, Bill, Madrid news. I know I said last week that we are quite Madrid focused, but this is quite an interesting story. We've got this unbelievable tug of war going on still in Madrid's the Madrid city centre about their low emissions scheme, which now the Madrid Central, which was bought in by a left wing city hall administration, and then once the Popular Party led administration in the city hall came in, they basically said they were going to get rid of this system and it was a flawed system and blah blah blah, and lo and behold, it has the last appeal against them getting rid of this system by Ecologists in Action has just been struck down by the courts, which means we're now in complete chaos, because technically it means that the fines can no longer be levied and basically the system just should not be working anymore. But the Conservative Popular Party mayor has said, oh, no, everyone should just carry on as if it still exists.
Oh,
but of
goodness.
Course, if you get fined at the moment, there's quite a fair chance that the fine's going to be cancelled or thrown out. And there's even talk of, you know, the fines that have been issued in the past under the system having to be returned to people who paid them. So just at a time when, you know, a lot of other European cities are moving towards calming measures, traffic calming measures, and these kind of schemes, we've got this big step backwards in Madrid, which I really hope gets sorted out very soon, because we need fewer cars in this city. It's pollution here. This city is just full of pollution and pollen at the moment, basically.
Oh, goodness me. Well, Dave had a lovely story this morning from a live caller when he was doing a breakfast show in Benidorm, who was saying that at one part that their road calming procedures have now brought the limit down to 10 kilometres an hour, and ladies and gentlemen who are on mobility scooters were whizzing past the traffic. Which is a little ironic, isn't it?
Well, that's the future, mobility scooters.
There you go. More on those and other stories. If you Google El País in English, you'll find it all there. Simon, you take care. Look after yourself, and we'll speak to yourself or Melissa next week.
You too, Bill.
All the best. Cheers.